Good morning.
Good morning.
How'd it go?
Muy bien.
What's that?
I said very good.
Good. Oh, muy bien, you said, okay. Gotcha. I thought you said it blew me in. And I had to think that you're switching languages on me. There's a lot here in John 21. I don't know whether you found it confusing a little bit, because John 21, I have found confusing, pieces of it confusing. But in the midst of all that we might not understand in the details, it doesn't destroy our faith in that which we know to be true for sure, right?
Yes, sir.
So what about the number 153? What about it? Obviously it's important, right? This eighth sign. Well, this is definitely speaking about the work of the apostles, isn't it? This is a work that the apostles were commissioned to do from the very beginning of their ministry with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to be made fishers of men. So it's no stretch in any way to see that they're to see in this sign the fullness of what it was they would accomplish through their efforts of preaching. So why 153? And again, as we suggested, there could be a number of ways to get here. There probably are. And one of them is in Genesis chapter 48. I heard a number of groups talking about this one. Genesis chapter 48. So in Genesis chapter 48, this is Jacob blessing the sons of Joseph, whom Jacob was taking for himself. And in verse 15, it says that Jacob blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, his name of Israel, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. How many of you went through this in your discussion groups? You got this? Good. Genesis chapter 48, verse 16. Because it says, grow into a multitude, what does it mean? Of course it's in a multitude, but what did God actually say when he had this recorded? Grow as fishes do, right? You see it right in the margin. As fishes do increase. And Joseph, he is the increaser. That's what his name means, to add. And so Joseph has these two children who were to increase. And these two children of Joseph, of Jacob, who bear the name of Israel, right? Because Jacob said, let my name be named upon them. These two children are symbolic children. Does anyone know what Manasseh means? When Joseph had his son Manasseh, he said, it's caused me to forget all my toil in all my father's house. And Manasseh, as a son, the firstborn son of Joseph, stands for the children of Israel who forgot. And the children of Israel to this day, just like Thomas, they have forgotten who their God is, and they have no knowledge of who their Messiah is. And it will be that it won't be until two-thirds of them are purged and brought through the fire that refined one-third will be able to go back into the land, right? We understand that. We'll see that expression in the number 153 in just a couple moments. But also there's another son, Ephraim. What does Ephraim mean? Ephraim means double fruit, because there's another son of Israel who is going to have that, another son of Israel who's going to be related to Israel in a very special way. And that has to do with those who come together, Jew and Gentile, double fruit under Ephraim. And that's what we see here in Genesis chapter 48. It represents natural Israel, who originally forgot, who will be brought back into restoration. And then it represents spiritual Israel on the other end. So there's a connection to the fish, but what about the number 153? Well, it's really back here. And correct me, Brother Josh, if I'm wrong, but Brother Josh brought up this, the word fishes here, as in verse 16, or is it multitude? Excuse me. It's the word multitude. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So these fishes would grow into a multitude. That word multitude occurs in 147 verses in Scripture. And the word occurs 153 times from what we've been told, just having a look at some of the research, just by doing a search on the number of the times the word occurs. That is incredible. That's pretty amazing. That's one way to get there. It's consistent with everything that we understand about the gospel. And again, if you're not sure about the Ephraim Manasseh stuff, it's okay. This is not the one place you go to prove who Ephraim and Manasseh are, allegorically. That's a study for another time. Now, would you come with me to the second book of Kings? Did you know the number 153 occurs in the second book of Kings, chapter 1? Did you get that, Tim? Awesome. 2 Kings, chapter 1. And just before we think about 2 Kings, chapter 1, do you know about the sons of Zebedee and what it was that they wanted to do when they were sons of thunder? John was one of those sons of Zebedee. They wanted to, when the Samaritans did not receive them, they wanted to call fire down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did. And Elijah did do this. He called down fire from heaven in 2 Kings chapter 1. And do you know how many people came before Elijah from the nation of Israel in 2 Kings chapter 1? 153. 3 captains of 50s and 5 groups of 50s, 153. And 2 of those groups, 2/3, were consumed in the fire. And 1 group, 1/3, experienced what's recorded in verse 13. It says that the king of Israel sent again a captain of the 3rd 50 with his 50. And the 3rd captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the 2 captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And he spares the man at the word of God himself. 1/3 brought through the fire. So the number 153, allegorically, can stand for Israel. But only 1/3 is brought through the fire from natural Israel, because as a nation, they had forgotten. But there was a group that was able to repent, that was able to fall before the God of heaven, as he was in Elijah there, when the whole nation had forgotten who he was. And yet, 153 represents the whole Israel as well, but this is spiritual Israel. What proportion of spiritual Israel is saved? 100%. 3/3 of spiritual Israel is saved. It represents those who were ultimately saved. And so when we come to, and that makes perfect sense, but because when we come to John chapter 21, I'll ask you to turn there now. These are all of those who are ultimately accepted into the kingdom, because they are all on the right side of the net. They represent those who are all brought in. The final ingathering. And that final ingathering is comprised of Jews and Gentiles. They're drawn out of the Sea of Tiberias because in the days that the apostles were preaching, when they went to the Jews and to the Gentiles, who was ruling over the Jews and the Gentiles? Tiberias. So we see Jew and Gentile all in this group over here, just like we do in Ephraim, double fruit. They're all fish, but they're all refined fish. You have the 1/3 of natural Israel refined and all of spiritual Israel totally refined. It fits absolutely perfectly in with our context. It's talking about the ultimate and final ingathering. And there's no surprise, I don't think at all, that what this is ultimately pointing forward to is immortality at the very end. because this is the eighth sign as well. This is the beginning of something completely new, a new week. Eight represents the cutting off of the flesh as well. And at the end of the millennium, the beginning of the eighth day, it's exactly what you're going to have. It's when God will be all in all. There won't be any other fish but the 153 plus one, who is Christ. Now, there's something else to be said about this this fish, but I think first what we'll do is we'll have a look at Peter. Because, you know, Peter is someone who still needs a lot of growth here. And again, all this is left on record. Like, Peter's kind of brazen enthusiasm and sometimes selfish ambition, which he wants to do the right thing, but he's going about it in the wrong way, is manifest here in John chapter 21 as well. And he had to grow out of this. And if we look at what happens here in verse 7, you know, it just shows you the difference between John and Peter as well. John was not, he might have been a son of thunder, but he was more reflective than Peter, which isn't saying much at this particular point, because Peter's always like responding right away. He goes with like his first impulse, it seems. His spirit needed to develop and be redirected. But it says in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, he finally figures it out, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, relatively speaking, not completely so, and did cast himself into the sea to be with the Lord as quickly as he could. And that's, we've mentioned before, that's a great change from Luke chapter 5, where he says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, as his boat sinking, because they've caught so many fish. But here, there's a great catch of fish. He wants to be with the Lord as quickly as he can. And we love Peter for that. And we smile because we say, Peter, you still have a lot to learn too. And we smile at ourselves too. And sometimes shake our head at ourselves and each other, when we know that we have a lot to learn in certain ways. So he casts himself into the sea. What's this idea about him being naked here, or relatively so? Peter was filled, must have been filled with shame. Because he had three times, after he said, I love you the most, I'll never leave you, he denied him three times. And so Peter here, he puts his fisher's coat on him. And when they come to land, it says, and the other disciples, it says in verse 8, have to come in another smaller ship. And they're dragging the net with fishes. And in verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, a fire of coals, and fish laid thereon and bread. Remember the fire of coals around which Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times? And look what Jesus says. Jesus saith unto, what does your version say? He saith unto them. Do you have them? Them. That's important, them. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. So he says this to the disciples as a group, right? Does he single anybody out? No. Who's the first person? Simon Peter. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. So, hey, you guys, help me with the fish. Later. And he's gone, and he's like, I'll do it myself. It's the same thing he just did in the boat. It's the Lord. They're dragging the fish back. Bring in the fish, and he's out again. Peter, do you love him any less? We don't love him any less, but he still had to learn. And that's why the Lord, around this coal of fires, after they've eaten, asks him three questions. Simon, I need you to stick with the sheep. And three times he emphasizes that point in different ways. Do you love me more than these? There's something to be said about the spirit of a shepherd as opposed to the spirit of a fisherman, right? When Jacob was coming back into the land of promise, after he's saved by God, having wrestled with the angel who weakens him for the rest of his life in his hip, and Esau, when he's finally made peace with his brother, says, "Come on with me, brother. You can go on before me." And Jacob's like, "I'm going to go as quickly as the flocks can go." Because when we're leading each other, we can't outrun each other. We can't outpace each other. We have to go together. And that's one of the things that Peter needed to be taught here. And there are many aspects of the three questions that are very meaningful here that we don't have a time to take a look at. But just as we think about our own lives, that's why we have to stay in the boat. And if we're a fish, we've got to stay in the net. Because those are the only places where salvation are to be found. We have to stay in the fold. And for those that leave, we need to make sure that we are reaching out to them in a way that they'll feel like they'll be able to come back. And the record of John and of all the New Testament teaches us that. Because Peter's immaturity throughout his life is made bare through here. And so maybe one of the best ways to reach out to those who get lost is to reach out to them and say, "You know what? There have been times in my life too where I've felt this particular way. And that you haven't wandered too far away to come back and to embrace again the things that you once knew to be true." Well, what about the fish? There are different kinds of fish here in John chapter 21. There are 153 fish in the net. There's one fish on the shore. And in verse 8, it uses a particular Greek word for fish, and the word means fish. No surprise there. End of verse 8 says that they were dragging the net with fishes. And that's I think the word is ichthys. That's the singular for fish. But when we look at this next word for fish over here, that's speaking about these fish as a group, verse 10, "Bring now of the fish which ye have now caught." That's a different word. It's like, why would you use a different word for the same group of fish? It's weird. But incidentally, it's actually the same word, fish, that is spoken about the fish that was on the shore with the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 9. That's the same word as the word which is in verse 10. So when they're in the water, they're just fish. But when they're brought to shore, something happens to them to make them the same as the one fish that's on the coals, in the eighth sign, when all the fish are on the right. These fish represent fish that have been changed, who in the days of their life they've heard the voice of the Son, the voice of the Son of God, and they've heard and they've begun to live in newness of life. And they're brought to shore, and now that they've been brought to shore, they can become the same kind of fish as the one that's been changed and prepared for a future use there in the shore. It represents those who hear the voice of the Son of Man and who come forth out of their graves and come forth to the resurrection of life. These are those who believe. These are those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and who have life in his name. Finally brought to shore, made just like the fish. And that's a comfort to us because every one of the 153 fish in that net have gone through the same transformation as Peter at that point. And they've gone through phases of their lives about which they were at times ashamed and wanted to put their coat on them about. But that's not the covering that our Father in his wisdom has given us. For Peter, all of his nakedness, as it were, is exposed to us. And we see it all. But it gives comfort to the rest of the fish. It gave comfort in the days of the lives of those fish as they were in the net being drawn to shore. They had confidence knowing that they too were being transformed from being fish to fish, from love to love, from faith to faith, and they grew and they increased and they became strong. They knew they had to learn, but they knew they had to learn in the net and in the fold or on the boat. And so at the wedding, when the water pots are filled and the wine is brought out, and at the city of comfort, when the firstborn national son of Israel, son of God, excuse me, is raised to life, when the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised to life, when the hidden manna is eaten, and all the fish are brought to shore, after the great winds in the Gentile night blow on the boat, we have to believe and keep believing. And we will struggle and we will fall. But if through that we get back up again and we support each other, he will give us life in his name.